Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
Equal.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First of all, we're the least penalized team in the league in the first three rounds, and now all of a sudden we've taken 14 penalties in one series. So, I don't know. I don't buy into all that, to be honest with you. I think that we can definitely be more composed after the whistle. I think we've let, you know, some frustration get in there where we're maybe do too much after the whistle. So we'll clean that up for sure. But like I said, we're the least penalized team in the league coming into this series. So I don't agree with all the calls. The penalties, and they get four power play goals out of it. It's just 5-on-5. I didn't think we were bad in the game. You know, the game gets out of reach. And it's a tough game to evaluate. We're going to be fine tomorrow. We're going to have, you know, our guys will be dialed in, ready to go. They always responded well after a loss. Like I said, we've lost game threes in all three rounds and really come back and played well in game four.
Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Day four of the Felger and Mas extravaganza here. As the Bruins and Blues get ready for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, we got you covered here all day long on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Maz Murray, how you guys doing?
Good.
Craig Berube's bitching about the refs. How do you feel about it?
So I generally don't like people who bitch about the refs, whether it's on the Bruins side or anybody else, or the home side or anybody else. And I think I've been consistent with this over the years that we've been on the air. I hate bitching about the refs. I hate it, hate it, hate it. You can only control the things you can control. And so you want to tell me that this series has been called in a manner that favors the Bruins? Yeah, absolutely. Lots of penalties, and that favors the Bruins. Is that the reason they're winning? That's a huge advantage, no question about it. I would also say if the St. Louis Blues have an issue with the number of penalties that have been called, then maybe they should work on their penalty killing. Like what? You know, again, if you have a deficiency, what do you want, the refs to cover it up? Is that what you want? So the Bruins have caught a break there, no two ways about it. Still, last game, 4-for-4 on four shots. Is that really the power play, or is that your penalty killing that sucks?
I think it's the latter. That's what it is. Whining about the refs after your penalty kill gives up four goals on four shots, comes across as nothing more than wah. Wah. There's not much we can do about it. Wah. There's too many penalties. Wah. That's all that is. And not to mention, maybe tell your players stop running into Tuukka Rask, running the goalie, being complete idiots about it. Because if this was the regular season, someone like David Perron would be getting beaten down, and rightfully so. This is just, it's a direct result of their overly aggressive play. And they reflect, look, I do believe, especially in hockey, teams reflect their coach's personality. That's what this guy was. Seventh all-time in penalties, in penalty minutes. He wanted this, and this is what you're getting. Reap what you sow.
Okay. Sour grapes, certainly. Their PK sucked, certainly. He's also kind of right. He's also kind of right. Even strength, the series is even. You say, is it the reason they won? Maz, it kind of is. Special teams are the reason the Bruins are ahead. 5-on-5 this series. 5-on-5. The goals are 5-to-5. If you want to go to shots, the Blues have more 5-on-5 shot attempts. The Blues have more 5-on-5 scoring chances. It's close. But the Blues, this is according to Sportsnet, the Blues have a 52.8% shot attempt advantage, 5-on-5, and lead in high danger scoring chances at 21-19. The reason you're ahead is special teams.
Okay, so what's wrong with that?
And you help a lot of these penalties.
Yeah, they embellish. There's no question about it.
You know, I mean, you say Rask is getting run. He's also helping out. And I'm being kind after ragging on the Montreal Canadiens my whole life. I'm being kind by saying we're helping them out where the Canadiens dive. But the Bruins are getting close. The Bruins are getting close. They help a lot of these penalties along. So are they being gutless weasels? Divers, or are they being smart? Because I mean, this last game wasn't as bad as some of the others, but they are clearly helping out. Your first goal that you got on the board, the power play goal by Patrice Bergeron, that Carlo penalty, the Perron interference on Carlo, dive. Flat out embellishment. And got it. And that won the first one. In the first game, the Bruins did it much worse. Rask has, I think, helped a lot of these calls along. Again, I'm being kind. And, well, again, from Sportsnet, through three rounds, the Blues had taken just 2.9 penalties per game. 2.9 per game. In the Cup Final, they're averaging 5.7. 5.7. Almost doubling what they did in the previous three rounds. Is that because the refs are calling it differently? Are they playing any differently than they played in the previous three rounds? You said they reflect their coach. Did they not reflect their coach in the previous three rounds? Or are they finally run into an opponent that's going to play up the way that they play and try and draw some more calls?
Or maybe,
how do you feel about
or
it?
Or maybe just the wrong officiating crew.
Certainly that. I mean, now
yeah, it could be that. I mean,
I don't know how many times they got Sutherland, and I once again forget the other guy's name. But I don't know how many times they got Sutherland and Kazari is his name.
Yep.
In the West, but they've gotten these guys in two of the three games, and Sutherland and Kazari are known as tight refs that call a lot, and they certainly did games 1 and 3. And again, are the Bruins smart because they know who's calling the game? They know how the league wants it called, and they know how St. Louis plays, so they're going to play it up. When David Perron skates into Brandon Carlo's going to go down like a house of bricks. That's not even an analogy. I just made it up. That doesn't make any sense, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
He's going to go down. Is that smart or is he a weasel?
Smart. Well, it's a little bit of both.
Okay, when you're a Canadian and you do that, is he smart?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I'm not worried about them right now.
I'm just trying to call it like I see it.
That's fine, and I'll compartmentalize and be a Bruins fan and say, hey, good. Be smart. I don't care. If it's a little bit weaselly, fine. I can live with that.
I mean, all this stuff about the first line being back, they were all power play goals.
Right.
They were all power play.
Right, but you know what? If you're a Bruins fan, you'll take that.
Of course.
Because they weren't giving anything on the power play. But, Mike, here's
No, but even strength, they didn't give anything up. To me, that was the biggest advancement of the first line, is that they didn't give anything up.
Right.
They were even on the sheet. They didn't give anything up to that Shen line. And then they scored on the power play. So I'll take that the rest of the series. I don't need, I think that's fine. If your first line is a wash with the Tarasenko line, I think your other three lines are better and you can win on your depth. I'm fine with that. And then, get your points on the power play, which I think is their path. But the stuff about Patrice Bergeron being fine, he's not fine. He's not fine. Patrice Bergeron played 9 minutes even strength in this game. Played 9 even strength minutes. So he still ain't right. He got the bulk of his time on the PK, which, is sort of a half-court game, which I think he can sort of manage. But he got the bulk of his time special teams. He only got 9-plus minutes 5-on-5. And so you're going to have to win. I don't know. You won on special teams. So for people to say that that's the difference in the series, they're not wrong. Special teams is the difference in the series right now.
All right. It is. I don't think that's debatable. The question is that somehow unjust? And all I would tell you is this, because, again, in 2011, it was the exact opposite. It was the exact opposite. You know how many power play opportunities Vancouver got in the finals? 33.
Wow.
In 7 games. 33. You know how many goals they scored? 2. 2. The Bruins killed 31 of the 33.
They were 2 for 33.
2 for 33 in the finals.
Tremendous.
2 for 33. So the point is, the Bruins were in the box. The Bruins had a crappy power play that year. They actually scored 5 power play goals in the finals that year, and Vancouver only scored 2. So it flipped. But Vancouver's power play was lethal. They called 33 penalties, and you know what happened? The Bruins killed them. So I just don't like the whining. Okay, there are lots of elements to the game. I don't like the whining. And
I don't like the hypocrisy. I don't like the hypocrisy. We can't sit here year after year after year and bash the Canadiens and the Canucks and all these teams that dive and embellish and only went on special teams and play to their special teams. And now you start doing it, and we say, oh, quit crying, Berube. That's pretty fraudulent. That's pretty fraudulent of us to do that. I ain't going to do that.
And I'll gladly be a fraud, because it's the Stanley Cup Final. They're up 2-1. I want to see them win this thing. I can forget about all that for now.
Now, all of that said, I do agree with the general premise that the last game wasn't nearly the blowout that everyone thinks it was, myself included. Like, you look at the final score and you say 7-2. What an ass kick. And you walk out of the building that night and you say 7-2. The fact of the matter is, the large majority of the damage came on the power play. The last goal was a complete throwaway. In fact, you could even argue
the last two,
really.
They pulled their goalie with 6 minutes left.
Now, one of those was a power play, right? So throw that one out. Throw the empty netter out. Now you're talking about, a 2-2 game?
Well, I mean, let me give you the sequence, Mass. The Bruins are up 2-0, end of the first period. And there's that funky play over the St. Louis blue line. Like, they almost stopped playing. Corrali scores a horrible goal through Bennington. The St. Louis Blues idiotically challenge. And we'll get to why they're idiots coming up. Idiotically challenge that. Lose the challenge. The goal stays. Because now when you challenge offsides, it's a delayed game against you. The Bruins start the second period on the power play. They leave Pastrnak uncovered. And now in the span of about, whatever, 45 seconds, instead of 2-0, and St. Louis going into the tunnel to catch their breath and stay in the game, it's 4-0 and the game's over.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, that was it. Again, I put that one on Berube. I said, well, that's a dumb decision.
Of course you put on Berube.
And Binnington.
And the goalie. Yeah,
and Binnington. I mean, I thought he was garbage in the last game. I know that's stating the obvious. But to me, I haven't been impressed from the very beginning with him. He's fine. He's fine. I don't think he's anything special. But the challenge there, and I was reading something today that, you know, typically, because we talked about this during the game the other night, that typically the video review guy is the one that signals the coach and says, hey, you got to go, you know, we got to challenge this. Apparently, in this case, Berube did it on his own.
Idiot. Wow, I'd love to. So, Maz, we'll do a whole segment on this later. I want to circle back to that. That even adds to it, that if Berube did it on its own. But you think this game was closer than 7-2?
I do. I don't think it was I don't think these teams are that far apart. And this game got away for lots of reasons. The power plays, the play of the goalie. And I do think that even strength, you're still in for a grind. I mean, even so, it's not like it's cumulative goals. Right, it's not the NCAA playoffs here. So 7-2 doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if they win the next three games 2-1, you outscore them, but you still lost the series. What good does that do you? So you reset, obviously, but
let me give it fuel to your fire. I mean, I thought Rask was exceptional in this game.
He was good.
I want to say quietly exceptional.
Yes, yeah, no question. He got overlooked.
You know, it's not like he faced a huge barrage of shots or huge flurries, which in some ways I think makes it more difficult. You know, he had 29 shots on net, which, you know, isn't a deluge. And, St. Louis never really brought – St. Louis is not capable of bringing the deluge, are they?
I don't think so.
With the way that they play? So it's not like – there have been stretches in these playoffs, Maz, against Toronto for sure, Columbus for sure, even stretches against Carolina. Remember the first period in Game 3 in Carolina? It was an assault.
Oh, my gosh, it was 20 shots, wasn't it?
And Rask stood on his head.
Yeah.
I don't think St. Louis is capable of doing that.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't think they want to.
They don't want to play that way.
I think they want to chip it in the corner and take your head off. Idiots. But anyway, so in this way, I think it's even harder on Rask that he doesn't have sort of that sustained thing to get on a real roll. And I thought he was quietly excellent in this game. The first 5 minutes of the first period, quiet, calm, excellent. And then sneakily, when we all stopped paying attention, I went back and watched it. The first 5 or so minutes of the third period, he did the same thing. When you're up 5-2, 5-1, then 5-2, he did the same thing. So without that kind of night from Rask, it might be a different night.
Yeah, this is the first time in the series at the beginning of that first period that you were talking about, I felt now he's back to the level where he was, or pretty close to it, in the Carolina series, in the Columbus series. It was the first time I felt that, just with the way he was moving, the stops he was making, the way the puck was just hitting him and dying. Like, it all felt to me again like, okay, maybe Tuukka's now back in his rhythm, because he was playing at such an otherworldly level there. But those were big stops early. I mean, again, I think the first goal thing is huge, and we all know that.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, so I thought he was dynamite. And the two goals they scored, one deflected off of two skates, I think it was. The other one hit the heel of Carlo's glove and popped up in the air and went over Tuukka. And he still almost got it. And so I just think that, this gets back to what we felt after game one, that if he's playing like that, they're going to have a hard time, the Blues.
Okay, there's some opening thoughts, but the officiating's, you know, firmly on the table. How can you blame Berube? In the NBA, every coach does this after every game. This is what you're supposed to do. The penalties, I think, are 17-12. In favor of the Bruins, meaning the Blues have been penalized 17 times, you've been penalized 12. And special teams is the difference in the series. So how could you blame, and you're diving around out there. So how could you blame the other coach for just doing what any coach does in any series in any sport? That's just what he's doing. And that's what's happening. Now, the Blues are still idiots. They're still idiots for giving you the chance to embellish those plays. I mean, why is David Perron skating up on Brandon Carlo behind the play?
He's a dope.
Carlo's not a threat on that rush. He's just following up the play. So Perron is an idiot to even give Carlo the chance, but Carlo took advantage of the chance. Cassidy had a response here. Jimmy, do you have Cassidy's comment?
I don't.
Okay. We'll get to that in a second. And your calls right after this. Felger and Maz from St. Louis.
Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Stanley Cup Finals play here. Felger and Maz are in St. Louis, sponsored by Revive Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bruins win another faceoff. High slot, it's Krug. Wrister deflected, they score! Krug! Coyle got out of the way of a blade check. 3-on-2. Drop to Johansson, right circle, it's fired, they score! The Bruins come across, and Charlie Coyle.
There's still some things we can work on, I think. There was, you know, they had their pushes, and we're playing well, and that happens, but it's how you control it, not to get too complacent. Keep pushing. No matter what the score is, we keep pushing and stay on the attack.
Picked off by Corrali, but he's got a guy in the zone. Sends it across the blue line to Nordstrom. Left circle, it's fired. They score! Near point Bergeron, far point Krug. Wrister out in front, they score! David Pastrnak made it look easy. Krug, high slot, Marchand played the pass off his knees. Back to Krug, right circle. Shoots, he scores! Torrey Krug!
Well, Joe, you ready for one of the greatest comebacks in St. Louis Blues playoff history?
Oh, yeah. I like how you're thinking, bud.
If you just get one goal every average 5 minutes of play, you'll have this thing tied up at the end of 20. Come down to O'Reilly to Parayko. He shoots it. They score! It deflects off Carlo's back and into the net, and a slap shot goal from Colton Parayko makes it a 5-2 game.
Right circle, it's fired. They score! Marcus Johansson, seventh goal of the night for the Bruins. 7-2 here in game 3.
I don't think we did everything great, to be honest with you. I think we were very opportunistic, obviously our power play. We did enough things well early to get the lead, extend the lead. But in the second period, you know, we didn't manage the puck as well as we'd like. So there's clearly always stuff we can work on. Some of the adjustments we made with our breakout, I thought worked out well for us at times. So I think there's certainly still a lot of room to elevate our game.
Jimmy's look back at Game 3, Game 4 coming up tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz have you covered all the way up until the pregame at 7. We're joined by NBC Sports Boston on the simulcast right outside the Enterprise Center. I mentioned Bruce Cassidy had a little comeback today on Craig Berube complaining about the penalty calls yesterday. Cassidy said, quote, "We're going to be ready for a physical game and we're not going to be concerned with the calls unless they stink," end quote. So in typical Bruce Cassidy style, there's his response. Your response, Dave in Plymouth, lead us off today.
So, Michael, how many power plays did St. Louis get on Saturday night?
So I think they may have had more than you. I think the calls were 7-6 to you.
They were 1-for-5. They were 1-for-5. And they would have had 6 if one of those Blues players didn't act like an idiot. Clifton was going off for a cross check, and he went up and sucker punched Clifton because he just can't hold back.
No, I don't think that was it. I think Perron gave Rask a little.
He was. Clifton was getting a penalty. The Blues were going on the power play.
Settle down, Dave. He was. Okay, Clifton was going to go off on himself, and then Perron gave Rask a little rabbit punch that was really a weak call. It was. Go back and watch it. He barely brushed him.
Well,
now, Perron was in his face all game, and so that was sort of collateral damage because they let the thing go with Perron at the end of the last period, so they got him for this one. But
Mike, you're making my point. Exactly. Yeah. That's what happened. If you keep this up, a majority of them you'll get away with. But at some point, you're going to get called. And I'm sorry, Berube comes across as sour grapes by saying that. You got 5 power plays. You didn't capitalize. The officials tried to get you back in the game in the third period, and you couldn't do it. And by the way, They've got a Grand Canyon-sized problem in terms of their goaltending versus Rask. Because right now, Binnington, for two games in a row, has given up soft goals. So if I were Berube, I'd be more concerned about which, you know, mentally, is my goalie going to show up tonight?
So listen, you can get all outraged if you want, Dave, and Boston, and Bruins fans. But it's just coaching 101. The officials and the officiating has been slanted in one direction. It just has. And he's trying to get it back. Just like your guy would do. Just like most coaches do. That's what he's doing. Now, the more we go forward here with Berube, the more I have questions about him and his staff and his team. I'm not telling you that they're better than you or deserve to be leading or anything like that. I'm just telling you. You've been helping some calls out. You've been getting these calls. And he's trying to square it away because you're winning on special teams. 5-on-5, the series is even. 5 goals to 5 goals. So that's what he's doing.
I do wonder also, though, if this isn't a little bit of a smokescreen for his goalie.
Okay, so that piece is, I mean, you want to go to the goaltending? Well, you know.
Binnington sucked in the last game.
When we started to really dig into the Blues, which was, you know, that 11-day gap, right? We had time. And, you know, you start to watch the Sharks and the Blues, and you watch that side, and you watch those games. And the first couple here, we said it along the way. We said, how good is this guy? You see the Jordan Binnington, the reputation, and, you know, rookie carrying his team to the Stanley Cup. You think, like, he's on his head, this impervious wall, this just force of nature. And then you watch him play, and you're like, huh, they don't really look all that special.
Yeah, I felt that way from the beginning. Even in the bits that I saw in the San Jose series, there were some soft goals in there.
And then in Game 3, the dam just broke.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, absolutely brutal. And so I think this is, you know, they got a young goalie who, what was he, fourth or fifth on the depth chart when the season
fourth,
started?
Correct.
Okay, so you got a young goalie that came out of nowhere. It's been a whirlwind. They've had to go balls to the wall since the beginning of January. All of a sudden, they're now looking at the goalie going, uh-oh. Because there's no way they aren't doing that. You get to this stage, whether it's the coach, the players are going, uh-oh, is this thing blowing up on us?
No question.
And so I think he's trying to cover up and hide the goalie. That's what I think he's trying to do.
Mike in the truck, give me some thoughts.
It sounds like you guys are saying that the game Saturday was closer than the score indicated.
Yes.
I think it was a just complete ass-whooping. And I don't know if you guys caught this, but they're interviewing that little girl, the Blues fan, during the first intermission. And the guy asks her, if you were in the Blues locker room right now, what would you be saying to those guys? And she says, you know, we just need to look past the loss and get ready for the next game.
So, I mean, I don't know about her analysis, but St. Louis, after the first 5 minutes or so, and Rask was calm and stopped their chances, I think they crapped themselves. I think they absolutely crapped themselves.
I mean, look, even listen to Cassidy's comments. There were a lot of things we didn't do well. We were opportunistic. I think he's basically saying the same thing. Like, look, it was a 7-2 win, but I don't know that it was really a 7-2 game. So let's not get too caught up in that part of it.
I'm just special teams was the difference. You scored 4 power play goals, and you had an empty netter. What'd you win by? 5?
Yeah.
4 power plays and an empty net. 5. So I'm just 5-on-5, the thing's been even.
I just say, you know, again.
So the opposing coach is trying to keep it 5-on-5. He could start by telling his players not to be so stupid and not giving the refs, you know, the opportunity to buy the Bruins stuff. But I think he's just doing his job. Steve in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, how you guys? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, so first of all, Berube calling out somebody or the refs for calling too many penalties is like Hitler blaming somebody for murder. Because if you look at his career, he was nothing but a cement head, and he's getting his team to play like cement heads because besides Tarasenko, that's all they got. And actually, there could be a lot more penalties called on that team. They should have got another one for running Rask another time.
He dove.
Oh, please.
Perron was right. He dove. He dove.
Maroon the Moron has been doing a lot of stuff after the whistle, and he's been banging Chara, goading Chara to trying to come in on something, and then they tic-tac Chara because he's defending himself.
They got
the
both
referee
of them.
Won't get in. No, because the referee won't get in there and do his job.
Oh, stop with listen, that. What he's supposed to get in the middle of
crap.
Chara and Maroon?
No, let me finish.
They're combined
finish,
15
right?
feet tall?
No one that stirred this pot. Let me finish. All right? There's a ton
no,
of
No, it's my show, so you have 20 more seconds. Go.
All right, a lot of crap after the whistle, and it's about time they started to call it.
Wait a minute. Now there's two by game. I gave you 5 seconds. Now there's too much stuff after the whistle. Who are you? Oh, this was Boston. What are we, Montreal? We have become Montreal now, officially. Wah! There's too much stuff after the whistle. Listen to yourselves. What happened to you?
Our show.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And good. Again, like, fine. Paint me as a whiny Montreal fan along with everybody else right now, because you got to do whatever the hell it takes to win. You're in the Stanley Cup final. You're up 2 games
okay,
to 1.
Okay, and that's what Berube's doing then.
All right, so fine. Good. And get control of your idiot team, too.
The thing that I can't get past is the whole penalty killing thing. You have all these great defensemen. Your team is built around it. They're all huge. And you give up 4 power play goals on 4 shots. If we're going to blame the Vegas Knights for imploding the way they did at the end of that San Jose game in Game 7, giving up 4 goals on a 5-minute major, talk about an implosion. I can't let these clowns off the hook. Like, and I don't doubt that the Bruins have gotten some help here. And you know what? They're embellishing a little bit, maybe a lot. Like, I don't dispute any of that. But, dude, kill the penalties. One thing, and I don't mean to be sanctimonious. We're talking sports, can we resist the analogies to Hitler?
Oh, did he say that?
He did.
I missed that.
So I hate the...
he said...
Let's not get stupid.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. Like, I thought he broke up.
Like, you know...
No, that's
keep,
fine. No, I'm with you.
Let's keep sports to sports.
So that's easy. Of course, I lost what I was going to say. Oh, the thing of them taking both Chara and Maroon off for little cross-checks down low... That is pathetic.
I agree.
That's on the refs.
You gotta let that go.
Good God, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs, man. Let them just give each other little jabs below the waist, at the waist level anyway. Come on. But look, if that's the way they're calling, so this is on Berube and the Blues. If that's how they're calling it, you gotta
tighten it up.
You've got to pay attention to that. You've got to know that. You gotta know that's the way they're calling it. And so the Bruins are definitely playing the smarter. And that's just one way to put it. More on the St. Louis side. Coming after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
On the road for the Stanley Cup Finals, Felger and Mass, sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, a soft call, but that, again, it's putting yourself in position where soft calls can be made, Joe, and it's been a problem for the Blues. I don't like that call at all. I think Carlo dove, but again, you engage yourself on that guy, you put yourself in position for that.
You see Carlo's head snap back, and listen, he sold it. He sold it like they're doing professional soccer in Europe, and the ref bit on it right there, and now it's really about a big test right here for the Blues.
So the Bruins on the power play, and they win the draw in the blue zone. Krug with a shot, and he scored, and Boston takes a 1-0 lead. The dive by Carlo, the bite by the official, the penalty by Perron, and the Bruins have a 1-0 lead.
That's what it sounded like with our guy Steve Kerber.
The dive by Carlo.
He's right. I'm sorry. If the positions were flipped and we were playing a team that was going down like the Bruins are going down, we'd be doing the exact same things and we'd be losing our minds. I know for a fact that is true because I have led the charge on that. I've been in the middle of it with you on these series against Montreal or Vancouver or any of these teams that go down a little too easily, rely on their power play, and won't man up and play 5-on-5. We've been down this road, and we've been on that side of it. Now your team has evolved. Call them smart. Call them whatever. I think St. Louis is a little archaic, so they're still in the dark ages, and we've sort of gone into the modern era. But that's so fine. Good. Good for them. Just
acknowledge the existence of it.
Let's not be complete frauds and hypocrites about the thing, okay? Carlo had no business going down on that. That was, they're right. That was a dive. And What he leaves out, though, is, well, maybe he did sort of mention in there, and that is, what's Perron doing going there and giving him even that opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, he basically said that, right? That
he's Perron, not a threat on the play.
No, stupid. I mean, it's a stupid penalty. The only thing that I would add to what you're saying, because I don't disagree with the general point, the Bruins are absolutely embellishing. They're getting calls. But the Bruins of years ago, I thought, were stupid to succumb to that. And I would also say, how many championships did they win? Like, they, when we went through all those years where they never won anything because they were always doing something stupid to take a penalty.
So we finally gotten smart.
Better.
Fine.
I mean, I don't love the embellishment part of it either. I still think, though, it's incumbent upon the Blues to adjust and, more importantly, kill the effing penalties. 4 for 4? You're going to give up 100% on 4 shots.
You won't get an argument from me on that one.
I mean, that's pathetic.
It's a basketball 4 for 4. I went 4 for 4 from the floor. That's unbelievable. 4 power play goals on 4 shots, 4 for 4.
I mean, really unbelievable.
But you think we're in St. Louis's head a little bit? We're in this Kerber's head a little bit? Folks, we did a Saturday show. You may not have caught it because it was deep in the weekend, but we did a Saturday show leading up into Game 3, and we had Steve Kerber on the air. Fine fella.
Chris, I think, but yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris Kerber. Fine fellow, but I think like a lot of our local, you know, we've got this too now, you know, from between Jack Edwards, and we have some protective, ornery, you know, pom-pom waving play-by-play guys. So let's not just say this is a St. Louis yokel. We've got these guys too, but I think this guy kind of qualifies.
Bleeds blue.
So, Jimmy, just play that clip if you could.
So you think they're this good?
No, I don't think. I know they're this good. You don't get to, like, let me ask you guys a question. What is it with Boston radio folks that seem to think that there's only one team in the National Hockey League that can play hockey? You don't beat the Winnipeg Jets, right, who I most people thought should be in the Stanley Cup final, right? You don't beat the Dallas Stars, and you don't beat the San Jose Sharks for being there. You don't travel like a team travels in the West. Play the heavy teams out West. Play Vegas. You don't play Nashville 5 times a year. Without learning something about you. Now, as you all know, you got to get some puck luck. You got to get some bounces going your way in the playoffs. But over an 82-game schedule, when you can be a 99-point team, or as you guys were, a 107-point team, you got to be pretty damn good to get there.
Have you got a sense that we, meaning Boston, are think we're better than we are? And where do you get that sense from?
I've just done several of these radio interviews.
The overall obnoxious.
That seemed to take that overall tone, like there's only one team in the NHL and the other 30 should have probably have just surrendered and not played a season.
Oh, no, but that's not this show.
Yeah, you haven't listened. Okay. So, again, I'm sorry. I asked, who did he – was he doing – so he didn't say – I got the impression he was saying Boston interviews. So maybe that's just the national view of it, too, and he's got his backup because no one believes in the Blues.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, look, again.
Or maybe he talked to Jones, and Jones took a steaming dump on the Blues or something. Well, again,
Jones would be at the top of my list of people that he may have spoken to now that I think about it.
Or he talked to Beto and Zoe, and Zolak did his, oh, yeah, so, yeah, unicorns and show ponies.
We beat the Rams, we're going to beat you. Cardinals, too. We own St. Louis.
Something stupid like that. So, like, yeah. Oh, so you think they're this good? Oh, no. I know they're this good. Oh.
And didn't that stem from a question about Jordan Bennington, too? How'd that work out for
you? That was with the other guy. That was with, what was his name, Andy Strickland?
Yeah. No, but this Kerber guy, Jimmy, you know, this Kerber guy, he's that guy for sure.
I know. Oh, I know, partner.
So I think we're in St. Louis's head just a little bit. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. HelplineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Felger and Maz are in St. Louis for the Stanley Cup Finals. Sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Krug, high slot, Marchand.
Played the pass off his knees back to Krug, right circle. Shoots, he scores! Torrey Krug whistles one in from the top of the right wing circle.
Bennington's going to get pulled right now.
I don't think he's played a good game in the final yet, so I think it's good. I think it's good for him to reset, an opportunity to sit back, gather his thoughts, and get his game back to the level that he has demonstrated he can play throughout the playoffs. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think he's having a very good series so far.
Jordan Bennington, something we haven't seen in 52 starts for him. He gets pulled in this one. 5 goals allowed on the 19 shots that he faced. What was most concerning to you about his play tonight?
Well, there was a timely goal that he gave up at the end of the first period. That was the one that was most disappointing. But, you know, this is the first bit of adversity that he's had to face in the playoffs. And for Bennington, you know, the big question for me was, how is he going to respond to the Stanley Cup Finals? I mean, this is a different animal than playing in any other round.
How quickly were the Bruins able to pick up on that, Bush? And have they now solved the Winton riddle right now?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they found something as far as the trend, as far as goals that are going in. The 5 hole has been exposed in this series. And you don't want to pick on him that he's given up these goals in the 5 hole, but it's been there. Coyle right there in game 2. This one with Nordstrom, a good play, opens him up and slides at 5 hole. Tough saves on those situations. But this one here tonight, it's a straight-on shot. I mean, this is not going east-west. This simply beats him underneath the pad in the middle of the net, and it ends up being a backbreaker for their team. So have the Bruins found something? Potentially. We'll have to see. But I want to see how mentally tough he is after having a tough game here tonight. Nope.
Yeah, let's look at the goaltending issue there. St. Louis have a goaltending issue, Miss?
I mean, I think so. I to me, right now, I'd say, you know, that's been the biggest difference in the series, really. Tuukka's been good. And in game 3, Tuukka was very good, and Bennington was god-awful. So, you know, 7-2 should tell you that.
So, I say special teams has been the difference, and goaltending, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's sort of part and parcel.
But I put the goaltending also in hand with the penalty kill.
Right.
4 goals on 4
right.
shots.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just god-awful. That Corrali goal can't happen. You got 7 seconds to go in the period. Worst case, you come out of there 2-0. And then, you know, so if he makes the save there, there is no challenge for offside. None of it happens, and now it's 2-0.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Coming into the second period.
It was the whole game right there.
Right, so as much as it was about the challenge in Berube and then, you know, getting shorthanded and then scoring again to start the second, it's really about the save. If the save happens, none of it unfolds the way it does. You can't let that goal in.
So, you know, you heard one of the first voices you heard there was Keith Jones on NBC Sports saying, I don't think he's played a good game in the whole series. And I agree with that. When we saw the first couple of games, it wasn't like he was bad. And he hung in there fine. And, you know, it was 3 goals allowed in game 1 and 2 in game 2. So that, you know, like, that all sort of checks out. But
I think we overlooked how jittery he really was in game 1. I mean, looking back at it now, a couple of those goals, especially that third one where he couldn't handle it when Chara has that soft little shot in. You know, you don't typically see that at this level. Especially this deep into the playoffs.
So let's just hear a little bit of Jimmy Juve, Jordan Bennington after the game. This is Bennington post-game here on Saturday night in St. Louis.
It is what it is, right? It's a loss, and at the score, it's a loss, and you're not happy with that. So we're going to regroup, and like I said, just prepare for a nice game.
Okay, and just give me the other one.
I don't know. I got to be better, right? You know, I got to do a better job giving the team a chance to win, and they got 3 goals in the first. That's never good. So it is what it is. You know, they're a good hockey team, and we got to get back to our game and just stay focused.
Okay, he's very calm. You know, he has his reputation of being, of being unflappable. But I think that's all off the ice.
Yeah, on the ice, he looks a little amped up to me.
On the ice, he's amped up? Did he give Rask a shove?
They bumped.
When did they bump?
He bumped him. It was at the end of, I'm trying to think. So
the first intermission or one of the, like, TV timeouts?
First intermission. No, when they were going to the locker rooms. Yeah, Rask was coming off, and he went by him and gave him a little bump.
Which is not the first time done that. He did that to Bishop in the Dallas series, right?
Yep, he gave him a little bump. I saw it. And so I remember
that's asinine.
It is. Yeah, I don't know what the logic is or what the hell he's trying to do. And again, watch the reaction on some of the goals. We talked about the reactions in game 1 when he gave up some bad goals. The Corrali goal, he did the same thing. He hung his head. And so there's all this little stuff that goes on with him on the ice that you look at and say, maybe he's just too geeked up.
So off the ice, he is, calm demeanor and unflappable. Fine. On the ice? No, I think you can get to him, and maybe they've gotten to him. How about Craig Berube after the game on his goaltending, Jimmy?
What's your thought process on pulling Jordan, and what's your confidence level that he'll bounce back?
Well, my confidence level is really high, and, you know, 5 goals is enough, so seen enough, and, just wanted to pull him and get him ready for the next game.
Simple as that. Short leash tonight for Bennington?
I would think so. I can't imagine how you can go through the same thing again. I mean, their season's really on the line here. You know, the how many teams historically have ever come back from 3-1 in the Cup Finals? I think it's one. Even that, and we're talking, I thought I read this quickly today. So the odds are stacked against you. You'd have to win both games in Boston. Like, that's asking a lot. If he slips up early, I go to Allen.
Okay, back to your thoughts, as promised. Jeff in Somerville. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Now, we can all agree that Tuukka Rask is a great goalie, and he played a much better game in Game 3. But like I said on Friday or Saturday, whatever it was, here we go with the butterfly effect again. He's down on his legs before the shot's even taken. And the first goal, over his shoulder. The second goal, over his shoulder. And so let's Jeff, not forget, they also hit the crossbar, too.
They hit the crossbar twice. There's no question about it. And he's, I'll just cut you off there. I agree there were, I didn't like some of those goals in Game 2 where Rask was really on his knees before he had to be. But I remember Murray up in the press box as we were watching the game the other night, elbowed me and said, look at Rask.
He's up.
He stood up a little bit more in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that they know that if they're going to get screened, he just can't be in that position because he's given up some of those goals. Those are the ones that look a little bit questionable. I loved how he played in this. He was one of the guys I was hoping would bounce back because I think it's fair to say, compared how he played against Columbus in the Eastern Conference Final, there was a dip there in those first two games.
Yeah, but the puck was going in from weird spots, whether they were technically his fault or not. You really, deflection or not, that shot from the half wall on a bad angle, if he just stands up, it has no shot, you know. So they're sort of going at a funky angle, and I thought he was sneaky huge in this game.
He was very, very good.
Because, you know, St. Louis, they didn't give you that onslaught, but the first 5 minutes was there, especially when they had the power play. He stopped Maroon walking out from behind the goal. These are just the ones I jotted down, with a scrum right in front. Then he was steady on a backhander by Perron, who totally stepped around McAvoy, Dustin McAvoy on that. But he was good, square to the puck, gave Perron nothing. Then at the very end of that power play, he almost cheated across the crease on Tarasenko, thinking Tarasenko was going to pass, and Tarasenko tried to go short side up against the post, and Rask was there. And even though he was cheating a little bit, he gave him a little bit of the post, it was still, Rask's recovery was very quiet, and I think it was just a really good sign. And I think it settled his team. I think it settled his team. The Blues had the first five shots, and Rask was really good with them, and again, quiet with them. And I think that's a huge part of settling the team on the road when the other team has that crowd behind them and all of those things. And then there was another one, score still 0-0 later in the first period. There was a giveaway behind the Bruins. That coughed up to Tarasenko down low. Again, he stopped Tarasenko. Those were huge stops. And then again, he was sneaky big in the beginning of the third. The Bruins took a bunch of penalties in the beginning of the third.
Oh, they were awful for like 6 minutes.
Right?
Yeah, they were trying to get the Blues back in the game.
Clifton cross-check, then Carlo pitchforked O'Reilly, went off for a 4-on-3. Chara with a roughing in the corner. Then DeBrus chucked it over the board. So there was a series of four penalties. And St. Louis scored on one of them. It was off Carlo's glove, you said. I thought it was his ass, whatever. But Rask was sneaky big in that sequence, too. He was really good in this game. And I think it's a tougher series for him in some respects because I don't think he's ever going to get that steady
flow.
It's a steady flow because St. Louis isn't that interested in steady offense. They are backward, I think, that team. Alex in Scituate. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, guys. I just want to comment on this Berube thing. The Bruins have had one more power play than the Blues during this series. So when you say that the ice is tilted or lopsided or hasn't been called fair, that's just not true. There is a difference between playing physical, and that Bruins fans do respect. Look at the Columbus series. The difference is that St. Louis is out there with intent to injure. By then taking runs at Rask, almost killing Pasternak, boarding DeBrus, going high on Backes, the list goes on. And that we don't respect. So, the Bruins are...
Wait a minute. How was the Shen attempt on Pasternak any different than Torrey Krug on the Thomas kid?
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
If you know hockey, you know the difference. You're trying to...
Here we go. We have another men's league warrior who knows more about the game because he plays knee hockey in his basement. How was the Shen attempt any different than the Torrey Krug play?
The Torrey Krug play was a legal hit. Hit him in the shoulders. And so, the other one, he's coming across. That's like equivalent to Horton against Vancouver. The difference is that Pasternak saw him at the last second and was able to get out of the way. That's the difference.
But how is the hit attempt any different?
Mike, it wasn't a legal hit. He was trying to kill him with his head down in the middle of the ice.
He didn't hit him in the head.
No, because Pasternak saw him at the last second. You think the Blues are not playing with intent to injure and that they
are
not?
Yes, they are. They are, but on that
hit attempt, that's all the point. That's my point.
No, but on that hit attempt, Alex, what was illegal
agree
about
with
it?
Me, then you agree with me?
No,
as you said.
What was illegal about that hit attempt on Pastrnak? What was illegal? Oh, he dropped. What was illegal? He hit him in the head. Pastrnak had the puck. He lined him up for an open ice hit, just like Krug on Thomas.
I give Pastrnak credit there.
Absolutely.
I thought Pastrnak saw it coming and got his shoulder out of the way.
Now, maybe you say Shen launched a little bit, but did he just go through the air because he missed the body, and that's when he really went twirling in the air? Krug launched a little bit, too.
I mean, if he had hit Pastrnak in the head, would I have been surprised? No, but I can't definitively say he was going to hit him in the head.
Hit him in the head's a penalty. He didn't hit him in the head.
It looked to me like he was lining him up to absolutely knock him into next week with his shoulder.
Of course he was, just like Krug was lining Thomas up to knock him into the concourse, too.
I told you, I don't have an issue with it. So, I don't know what... Look, the thing is the Bruins were this, the Bruins were this barbaric team for a long, long time, and Bruins fans adopted that as their mantra. And I have always felt this way, so I don't think this is revisionist history or... hypocrisy. But I always felt that the Bruins are more interested in beating you physically than actually beating you on the scoreboard.
And that's what the Blues are.
Okay, and now the Bruins are different. Now they're different. So I give them all the credit in the world for that. I feel like the Bruins finally, after decades, have evolved to the point where, like, they can still take a hit, they can still play physically, but at the same time, if you put them on the power play, they're going to go 4-for-4 on 4 shots.
And they know it. So they help you draw the penalty. They help the refs along. They're that team now, which is fine. Which is fine if you're fine with that.
It's so just... they're not as bad as the Canadians were, and you know that. They're not as bad.
Starting down that road. Long commercial-free segment is we're in the middle of it. There's no commercials here. There's an update with Murray here live from St. Louis. Come back, talk about the health of Patrice Bergeron. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. HelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.